Let's begin the gospel meeting this evening with hymn number 10 on the gospel hymn sheet. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, his love great and free. Hymn number 10, if someone will please start it.
A Savior as well.
Let's ask God's help and blessing. By way of introduction to some further scriptures that I want to look at this evening, I'd like to begin in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. I have it on my heart this evening in seeking by the grace of God to present the gospel, to look at some scriptures that bring before us the fingers of God. We're going to notice that there are seven of them that bring before us the work of God in connection with his fingers. But I thought it might be helpful to begin with this simple statement here in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, and I don't think there's anything complicated about this, where it speaks of the hand of the Lord. We think of fingers, we think of a hand, and here we read that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. And you know, I rejoice to read a verse like this at the beginning of a gospel meeting, because tonight, blessing doesn't depend on our ability to present the Word of God. No, blessing depends tonight on His heart and His living Word. Isn't that tremendous to think about? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. In fact, it's outstretched, ready to receive sinners. His desire is to draw souls to His bosom, to draw sinners to Himself. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And we're going to turn to several scriptures tonight, seven of them, because it's again the Word of God that lives and abides forever that is going to cause blessing tonight. It was already quoted to us earlier in these meetings today, that verse in Peter that tells us, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And do open your ears to hear tonight. Hear, and your soul shall live. Open your ears to listen to what God has to say tonight, because his voice is still going out throughout this world. Even in these last moments, just before the Lord Jesus is about to come, his voice is being heard. And I've been impressed recently to realize that his hand is reaching out and his voice being heard in corners of this dark world where it's never been before. The word of God has been translated into languages and dialects that it's never been in before. Through technology and communication today, the word is being sounded out in places where it's never been sounded out before. But tonight it's going forth in St. Louis, right here in North America, right here in the United States, right here in this hotel in the city of St. Louis. We can open and we can present the Savior of sinners. We can present the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, two young people were heard to say just before a gospel meeting like this, well, it's just another gospel meeting. It'll probably be over around 8 o'clock. Well, this gospel meeting will probably be over around 8 o'clock. Oh, we want to tell you tonight, no gospel meeting is just another gospel meeting. It is a thrill to our souls to be able to turn to the Word of God and present Christ in all his loveliness and beauty. And oh, tonight our desire is that you'd get one glimpse of that man in the glory. Our desire is that you'd get one taste of his love. Because if you get one glimpse of the man in the glory by faith, you get one taste of his love, I dare say you'll want more and more and more. And so as I say, we're going to take up this subject of the fingers of God. We're going to begin by going to Psalm, the 8th Psalm, Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him,
and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Well, I read this one first because this is what we might call the finger of creation. And we want to establish at the very beginning that God is the creator. I realize that when you go to school, there's much that would teach you that it all just happened, that it all just came into being by some cosmic forces and accidents that took place over billions of years. And things just evolved, and they have evolved to a point that they are today. But oh, we want to establish that God is the creator. If we were to go back to Genesis chapter 1, God has told us very clearly of how he created the heavens and the earth. Because if we fail to recognize God as the creator, then we fail to recognize our responsibility to our maker. In fact, I believe that that was the difficulty with Adam in the very beginning. You know, Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden after everything was set in place by God for his happiness. He was placed there, and everything was to be enjoyed at God's disposal. But there was one thing he was not to do. He was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And his not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to be the recognition that he was responsible to God, that he was enjoying this as responsible to his creator. And Adam failed to recognize his responsibility to God. And it tells us by one man's disobedience, sin entered, and death by sin. Sin came in because man refused to recognize his responsibility to God. And oh, tonight we want to make it very clear that God is the creator and that you are responsible to him. And we want to make it further clear that when you leave this earth, if you were tonight to draw your last breath and be laid in a coffin and two or three days from now be laid in a tomb, we want to make it very clear that that is not the end. You do not die like the lower creation. You do not die like a dog. You do not die like that pet that you grieved over and that you loved so much. No, man was made different than the lower creation. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If we were to go to Luke's gospel, we would find the Lord Jesus himself, when he was here, pulled the curtain aside in telling a story about two men, a rich man and Lazarus. And he pulled the curtain aside to show that when man draws his final breath, it's not all over. There is something beyond this life. And man enters the next world under two very different circumstances. He enters it either to be in a place of bliss and in the conscious enjoyment of the presence of Christ, or he enters it to be in a place of torment, a place where one desires one drop of water to cool their tongue. These things are real. These things are very solemn. You must do with God. Oh, you may brush it all off tonight. And you may go out of that room and say, I'm going to live my life. And as man features this world as a playground in which to indulge himself, and there's only one life, and live it to the full. Isn't that what you hear around you? You know, not very long ago, I took a walk out through the shops and the mall and around this hotel. And I was just struck by reading the signs and what is being advertised, I was just struck with how much today everything is geared to amusement and entertainment. You know, I've often said that the word muse is the Latin word that means to think. And in Latin, when you put an A in front of it, it gives it the opposite meaning. And so, in other words, the word amuse means not to think.
And when was there ever a day when his amusement is as prevalent as the day in which we live? It's Satan's attempt to keep you insensitive to your ruin. It's Satan's attempt to keep you living for the moment, to keep your mind so occupied that you have no time to think about eternity, no time to think about Christ. It's like the story the Lord told about the man who was so geared with his crops and building barns and getting ahead in this world. He didn't think of eternity. And what did the Lord say about that man? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so we have the finger of God in creation. And yet, this creation so vast, the universe so vast, and men are finding out more and more just how vast it is. And yet, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, came to this speck in God's great creation. This globe, this planet we live on called Earth, is just a marble, just a speck in relationship to the universe. And yet it was to this planet that the Lord Jesus came. Not to condemn it, but he came to save. He came for blessing. Oh, it's true, they rejected him. They cast him out. They didn't want him, but he came for blessing. He came to save. That's the one we have to present tonight. And David marveled at this. David, who penned these words by inspiration. David, who kept the sheep, no doubt sat out under the stars night after night. He looked up into the heavens and saw God's great creation. And he marveled at it. And prophetically he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Isn't it marvelous to think that the Lord Jesus came to this creation? And he came as a man. He came as a baby. Think of him. You know, he was the creator. The creator himself. By him, all things were made. And that blessed one came, wrapped in swaddling clothes. God incarnate. Accepted certain limitations as taking on him the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. Oh, we want to speak so very carefully when we speak of the person of Christ. But accepted certain limitations, allowed himself as a baby to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the poorest of circumstances in a manger. Allowed an earthly mother and father to hold him in their arms, to take him to that home in Nazareth where he grew up, and later on allowed cruel men to treat him the way they did. Here was their creator giving them one breath after another as they lifted their hands and slapped his blessed face, as they plucked the hairs of his cheek, as they took their spittle and propelled it into his blessed face, as they led him out to Calvary's cross, as they stretched those blessed arms on that Roman gibbet, and as they lifted that hammer,